Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. He called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. The goods belong to the master. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Now he gave them according to their strengths, their abilities. Hallelujah. So he did not give any man something the person could not do. Hallelujah. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with them with the same and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents went and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. So he had 10. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. He that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. Hallelujah. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. So just hand it over to him, say, there, take it. Is yours. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I had not strewed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, that is the banks, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury, that is interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him that had 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Luke chapter 19, verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because it was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered to them 10 pounds. This is another version of it. All right, because, you know, Jesus was preaching and teaching from place to place. Amen? So the principle is the important thing. He could have said it another way in another meeting. Amen? But he called his 10 servants, delivered to them 10 pounds, and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have these men to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, that he commanded his servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. The book of Luke is more akin to what is going to happen at the coming of Christ, because actually it is cities and nations that will be committed to the care of those who have been faithful in their areas of service. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound had gained 5 pounds. And I said, likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up, thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then givest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, give it to him that had 10. And they said unto him, Lord, he had 10 pounds. He said, for I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given. From him that hath not, even that he hath, shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. This is what is going to happen in the end of days, because everyone dead is going to rise up from the grave, whether the person is righteous or unrighteous, there's the resurrection of the dead coming at the very end of all things, as we know it, during the great white throne judgment. Jesus, the Father, is now going to sit upon the throne, and all flesh will be raised from the dead, and God will start judging them. Hallelujah. And we'll also be seated on thrones, and we're going to be judging nations. Hallelujah. According to that which is written in the Word of God. Amen. So, the Lord is talking about talents, pounds. Is that what he's really talking about? He's talking about gifts that he has given to people, assignments that he has given to each and every one of us. Every child of God has something that God gave the person to do for him. Every one of us. Sometimes it may look as to serve in as a pastor. Some to serve as evangelists. Some as teachers. Some as Bible class teachers. Some as prophets. Some he has called to help take care of the house of God. Some are ushers. Some are in the praise team. They are praisers. Some are intercessors. Some are musicians playing instruments of music for the Lord. Some of them work in security, some in media, some in different things. Some were called to be missionary evangelists. Some are missionary pastors. Various things that God has given us to do. Some of us in the media handle different areas of media work, social media. Some actually do the video. Some do various things in the house of God, the kingdom of God, to advance the cause of the gospel. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, as every man had received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. These things are graces given to us. That grace belongs to God. He's given to each and every one of us things to do for him. We are all stewards. Now, a baby can be a steward because he's still a babe, which means you just got saved. You can't tell your left from your right what's going on in the house of God. All right? But as quickly as you begin to learn, you begin to do. Amen? Hallelujah. So what is kingdom stewardship? Looking at it so that we have a better understanding and then begin to do what we're supposed to do. Because you're a steward first, which means you are a person, all right, one who's employed by an owner or a head of a household or the state or an estate, accountable to the one who employed them to administer a pre-assigned service, oversight, or charge. That's what it is, or charge. In other words, it may involve, but not limited to you, being, to do supervision over other workers, to other stewards, to keep charge, to give directs, to give direction, give service. This is one who manages domestic affairs. The dictionary, Webster Dictionary says he manages domestic affairs such as that have been assigned to that person, that have been assigned to them by the owner or one who has authority over those affairs. It's God, Jesus, who has called us. He's the owner. And given each and every one of us what to do. And he went to prepare a place for us. He went to prepare a place. He said, I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you may be also. Praise the Lord Jesus. So we're servants in the house of God. Every one of us. Whether you're the pastor or you're doing, everybody must find something that God wants them to do for him in the house of God, in the kingdom of God. This is why under the Old Covenant, he says, the Old Testament, he says, woe to him that is at ease in Zion. If I put it in the same, woe to him that is a bench warmer in Zion. All you're doing is occupying the seat and doing nothing. That's Amos 6, verse 1. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. So everyone must be busy for God. Everybody in the house of God is a worker. Now, I'm not defining it by how we define it in the world. And I'm not trying to unsettle you. But I'm trying to let you see that there's responsibility in the house of God for each and every one of us to see to the advancement of the kingdom of God. Every child of God must see to the advancement of the kingdom of God. Every child of God and the beginning of that assignment is soul winning. To win souls would include for us to evangelize, be witnesses to people. That's not the end of winning souls. That's the beginning of it. But we win the souls. We witness to them. We bring them into the fold. We disciple them. Then we send them. They begin to do what we were doing. That is the cycle of a soul. As far as it has to do with kingdom advancement, everybody's a worker in the kingdom of God. Nobody's a bench warmer. All of us need to, because we all have been given things that we're good at in the kingdom of God. And that thing you have been given is unique to you. It has your signature to it. That thing, nobody else can do it as well as you can. Because it was given, you were given grace to do that thing. It's not as though God can't do it through anybody else, but God wants to do it through you. And one of the things that the adversary tries to do is to persuade someone that God has assigned something to that he's not fit or she's not fit for it. He'll tell you, you're not good enough. Everybody else is good for it except you. In fact, you're the worst person to do this thing. And sometimes you are born with what looks like a disposition that is contrary to what God actually called you to do. So sometimes you have this disposition because people become who they are because of who they associate with, what they observe, the things they are taught, and it depends on who's teaching it. Hallelujah. But God called us to do his work. God called us to advance his kingdom. When he was leaving, there were two things that Jesus did that were very clear. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, some people can read this to mean that he's saying that all of us should be evangelists and missionaries all over the world. If that is what your calling is, you will know it. And grace will be there for you to do it. But what he's talking about here is that we should minister as everywhere we have opportunity to do so. People within your sphere of contact, talk to them about Jesus. Because everybody needs to be saved. Everybody needs salvation. Apart from those who are already saved, the world out there needs to be saved. Jesus died for everybody. The criminal died, you know, the criminals, he died for everybody. Whether they be criminals, assassins, terrorists, or crooks. He died for anything you can imagine was wrong. Jesus died for everybody. Then verse 16, he says, when we preach, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. This is a big deal. It means if they don't believe, eternal judgment or damnation is their portion. It's so serious. There is only one thing that will save men: the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way. He is not one of the ways. Some of the people who say those things, who are evangelists for the devil, will say that there are many ways, of which Jesus is one of them. That's not possible. Is it that there are many ways and Jesus is not one of them? Or Jesus is the only way and the rest are no ways? Do you know why I say so? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Which means it's exclusive. It's a monopoly. So it's either Jesus is the one and only way, or he's not the way at all. And all those other people are the ways. And we know he is the way. We know. He by miracles, signs, wonders, delivered, made, confirmed these things that we're talking about. That he's Lord of all. And so the things that God gave us to serve with, what we know that he gave us, what can I do? Some are good with media. They've never gone to volunteer in the media room to say, Can I do something here? I know how to do this, do that, do that. And you know what the Bible says? It says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To him that knoweth to do good. You know this thing. Hallelujah. So what God has given you, you must multiply it. So it brings us to the principles of a kingdom service or stewardship. Ephesians chapter 6. I read from verse 5. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Which means we actually should be obedient to Christ. That's what he's saying. So the first principle of godly kingdom stewardship is obedience to God's instructions. We should do it with fear. What did God say? We tremble at his word. We love him, yet we reverence him. We respect him. We honor him. What he says to us, we take it seriously. We follow his instructions. We do it by faith, knowing him whom we have believed. We don't give our mouths to falsehood. When the world is advertising their stuff, we advertise in the kingdom of God. When they're trying to throw their doctrine, the doctrine of devils, at us, we don't keep quiet. We let them know it's ungodly. We let them know that there is a God in heaven. And these things you're doing are not acceptable with him.